the most part, like the system works for the company. Like they're asking things that they need in order for them to get a better of an idea of what their process would look like. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not for the candidate. But I think it's just like it's just about like managing your energies, as Sarah mentioned. And from my experience, it's also weighing like the effort to like the rewards, like.
Hey everyone, welcome to the CoLab Collective podcast, where we talk about relevant topics and current events on anything tech related. This podcast is hosted by Josh Lowe and the wonderful team, and I'm Aaron, your producer, and hopefully you're having a wonderful day. In episode 4, we're going to be talking about the dreaded job application process. And I'm sure a lot of us, unfortunately, have been going through that right now, whether you're finding freelance work, part-time work, or contract work. The job application process is definitely something that we don't all look forward to. But in this episode, we're going to break it down. Hopefully, you get some tidbits of knowledge, and hopefully, you enjoy. Once again, if you have any questions or would like to suggest topics for us to talk about, you can reach us at teamcolabco@gmail.com or visit our website, www.colabcollective.ca. Once again, that's www.colabcollective.ca. Thank you guys for tuning in, and hopefully you enjoy today's episode.
Hey guys, welcome to the CoLab Collective podcast. My name is Josh, one of your hosts, and we have...
Kevin here.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Leon, what's up?
I'm Andrew.
And we are the CoLab Collective crew, and today we want to talk about the job application process, particularly what's going on with the tech scene in Vancouver. I know in a last previous podcast, we've been talking about just the transitions and the challenges of just searching for a job, or some of us might have been laid off, or some of us are desperate to pick up extra gigs. So, yeah, maybe we can open it up. I know some of us are experiencing the whole process of applying for jobs, going through the whole gauntlet of like the round 3, round 4. So maybe let's start with that. One of you guys want to share your experiences so far and how amazing it's been?
Yeah, what if we each go around like in a sentence, say our situation, so we know where everyone's coming from. So like for me, I got laid off at the end of March, and then I was unemployed on CERB, thank you Canada, for 4 months, I guess. And I started working at the end of July. So now I am 1.5 months into a new job.
Nice.
Out from a full-time role to more just a part-time or contractor role for months. And was hoping to change my career during those times. I think it happened during phase one. And yeah, I've been just looking for jobs for a few months ever since that.
So I guess for myself, I've been working throughout these last couple months full-time as a product manager at a financial company. Also the instruction that I was doing at Red Academy, that has stopped. So, and then I picked up some mentoring roles. So being able to chat online, virtually 30 minutes every week with a couple mentees has been a pretty interesting experience.
Yeah, for me, it's like my last employed role was in early January. Took a little bit of a break. Thought I wanted to kind of just like go back and start applying, start getting back on the saddle right when the pandemic hit. And it's been like quite a journey of like looking for a full-time employment as I'm doing some freelance gigs on the side.
Yeah, so for me, I did the Red Academy UX full-time program, and out of that, I just started freelancing right from the get-go. I have been doing a few contract, like jobs at some tech companies and startups, but they were just like couple month gigs. And so I just decided, me myself, long term, I've always wanted to start my own business. So, but that's been a challenge along the way, because just learning about, it's like all the business skills that you have to develop in marketing and everything. So right now, especially with the new family, or as a new dad, I've decided to look for, or go back on the job market. So look for a job and then just continue doing freelance projects on the side. So I just started applying a few days ago, and gotta tell you, it's not my favorite process. Just updating the resume and tweaking it. And then when I know, I won't name the company's name, but I had two interviews with two pretty big companies and went through like three rounds, and just going through like the design challenges for tech companies, it's great, but the whole process took about a month, and it's pretty lengthy and pretty draining. And even for some of the design challenges, they're quite vague. So I felt like it was, in terms of the applicants' efforts and resources being used, I feel like we're more at a vulnerable state compared to, say, the company where they have, you know, the pick of the litter. I've heard of some stories, and maybe, Andrew, I know I've talked to you, you can share some of your experiences, but sometimes I heard companies will just, they know they're not going to hire you, but they shortlist you into the final round, and, you know, it would make sense to just finalize it to like two or three candidates, but they have like a lot more. And so it's kind of like wasting your time, right? So yeah, let's crack it open. Let's
dun, dun.
Let's call out all these companies or all these old ways of inefficient ways of hiring people.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack with it. But just like on the whole, like just touching on like the whole design challenges part, because like if you've been at, I've been at it for a handful of months now, like, and I could say like it could be almost like a portfolio in itself and part of my resume, with just like the sheer amount of challenges that I've done in the past. And I would say like there is a degree that it's inversely proportioned in terms of like how much effort and information is disclosed by the candidate as compared to the employer who may seem that they've been holding like most of the cards, right? But I think that's kind of just like how it is, and I think to some extent it's worked for everyone, but we're slowly all discovering the flaws and improvements with how that dynamic goes in a time like pandemic, and I could only speak for like a designer looking for a job, but I could imagine like how that would apply to other roles myself. Like for my experience, yeah, like it is tasking. There is some value in being able to kind of just like sharpen your skills and practice your interviewing skills. Like there's always like something valuable about that. But at the same time, it's like it's just like one after another, most of the time at the same time. And like you gotta be able to kind of just, yeah, like sharpen your prioritization skills and your pacing skills, because it did get pretty overwhelming and exhausting pretty fast. Not to mention just like the whole mentality and mindset of it, that it's all uncertain until you sign something, right?
Okay, so I think I have to apologize, Kevin. I think I left you out in sharing where you're at. Is that right?
No.
We're good.
We did it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, maybe you can share, like, because you're kind of in the middle of waiting for a job. Yeah. Job offer.
Right? Oh yeah. So I think I've been starting to apply to many places since March, actually, when pandemic hits, and a lot of the job applications that I had have gone a bit cold, like at least more than 70%, hit some interviews until the next second or third stage, but unfortunately nothing has happened yet. luckily I was still working on a contract basis until a few months ago. So it's good that I was able to sustain myself and so on. Recently, I feel like there's a lot of companies that I heard this from people who are in the recruitment side or HR side of things, where they had too many candidates going on right now. And it's not easy to get a good response back unless you have a lot of experience to begin with. And for career changers like me, or some bootcamp grads, you might find it hard to jump into the next world that you want to be in. But luckily, I was reached out by some company. I wouldn't say the name, but we've done a few interviews, and maybe there might be an offer soon. But what I want to say, what I'm grateful for, is that I put my lists and my details in this platform called The Help List, where I may have mentioned in the previous podcast before, where you can input your all of your background in kind of like a spreadsheet style, but using their own platform. And that's how that company found me in there. So it's good that I was trying to utilize different type of mediums in order to get me into interviews, not just LinkedIn, not just Indeed, not just AngelList, but you actually utilizing platforms that were created during pandemic time, such as The Help List, which arised around March or April by a few product managers, designers, and so on. And so, yeah, so that's a bit of my story.
What's the website if people want to?
It's called thehelpless.com.
Thehelpless.ca.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, how many HR managers or anyone hiring are going through that list and, like, reaching out to people? Because it's super long list, right? And I just looked at it and I'm like, wow, there's some really experienced and qualified people on here. I hope that they're getting some messages.
Great.
Yeah, I feel like I have a lot of few friends who's a senior product manager, and he's been getting interviews every week, which is good. So I think it's just a matter of what company that you applied for and how much experience you have. And he had 10 years of experience. So I can see that, you know, like the reason why he's been getting a lot of interviews is because of his background. But for career changers, it's really hard to compete with, you know, maybe those people who got laid off are those senior people who are still seeking job, and you're competing with a lot of senior people these days who's trying to survive.
That was exactly what I was going to ask, is whether you guys think it's harder for someone who's intermediate or for someone who's more junior or entry level, like people graduating university and programs. But I guess, like you say, it's tough out there for entry level, but at the same time, you're able to take on like a wider variety of roles, whereas the more specialized you get in your career, the more specific roles you're going after. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think I think all the challenges that have existed pre-pandemic is just like exponentially pronounced. And to what you're saying as well, it's like all the opportunities are exponentially there as well, if you're able to kind of just like be resourceful and be creative with how you're going to navigate through it. Knowing that, yeah, there are ways that have existed, but there are new paths that are being created. On how like this in between of looking for jobs is happening.
I was wondering, Leon, Sarah, could you share your experience the job search prior to you landing the job? Like, how long did it take? What did you have to do? What were some challenges that you kind of experienced along the way?
Leon, let's start with yours. like 9 months before me, and it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, it was. I really, you know, I wish I recalled more than I actually do, because I think it happened pretty quickly. And I had been looking for, I think at the time I was actually searching for I knew that I wanted a bit of a change from what I was doing previously, which was UX design primarily. So I felt like I had kind of hit a glass ceiling in that I wanted to just reach out laterally and find out what I could learn about more of the business end of things. So that's why I kind of wanted to target a bit more of a product management role, because I felt like it would give me a bit more insight into the business case end of things, and, you know, being able to justify design decisions and really kind of back it up with data. The searching part of it, the initial searching is always such a chore for me. I hate writing resumes. I never write it for the scanners. I just write it as, you know, basically what I want it to look to have, all the content that I want. Put my little objective in there and be really kind of concise about like what I'm targeting and what I'm looking for in the role, because I feel like it's better to kind of set my expectations up front and try and really just make relationships with people in other ways, as opposed to kind of going through the machine route. I found that, you know, just submitting my resume to a, like an employment engine never works for me. I've done that like hundreds of times, never really gotten like any sort of interview set up, like the first interview, never. So it could be because my resume is like a PDF and not a Word document. I found that out like the hard way, that you're supposed to kind of do that. But everything past that, so after I had that initial interview with the place where I'm at right now, it was with the marketing director, who is now my boss. And I think we just kind of hit it off. We started talking about like, you know, where we were from and how I kind of grew up in Toronto. And he actually lived in Toronto for a long period of time too. Mm-hmm. And I told him about like, I guess my education in Toronto and, you know, graduating from York University there, my background in graphic design. And so his background was in marketing, and he had also had a background in design as well. So we really kind of connected on that. And then also in the interview process, we talked about where to take the business. And he really wanted to have a bit more of a focus on the user side of things. He felt we felt that like the sales end of things was kind of driving the decisions for the products. And yeah, just in general, I think that it was an opportune time for me to kind of come in at that point with my background in UX, and being able to provide some insight on how to run workshops, how to kind of get everyone on the same page about where we kind of want to take the future state of the products that we have and the offerings that we have as applications. So in that regard, I think that everything up to the interview was tough and annoying because of all the searching that had to be done. But then after interviews, I feel like it's always kind of an easy conversation for me, at least. That's my experience with it.
Or at least like that's the more interesting part, which is something that I can really relate to with what you're saying about like the way that you approach the job hunt. But I think for me going into this one, I had already had it in my mind from all of the past job hunt periods that I'd been on that I'm like, okay, the next time I do that, I really want to see if I can approach it in a way that makes it less soul sucking, because I've just had this really like bad experience in the past of feeling really low and like you're just staring at a screen and you're not getting anything back and you're putting some effort into things, and the ones you get most excited about and put the most effort into, you don't hear back from, and it's really discouraging. So I wanted to also try to make it more like of an inspired process on my end and something that I could enjoy more, because it's like, okay, if I have to be looking for a job, how can I make the most out of it? And for me, that was also trying to get more human connections, trying to have more conversations with people about their work and their company, and spend time thinking about what interests me. And I was really lucky to be able to do that because we had the CERB here in Canada, where we've got like sort of our basic expenses covered by the funds from the government. And then, yeah, I felt like I had a little bit of room in that sense. And so the job that I ended up getting, it was sort of through that pathway of speaking to like a former colleague who worked there now, who I just wanted to hear about their experience and hear about what the place was like. And my interest is thinking, okay, does this sound like somewhere I would like to work? And then it turned out that they had some roles open and he introduced me to the hiring manager, and I ended up just naturally falling into the interview process. So the one that I ended up getting didn't have a lot of like effort in the, at the outset, because I naturally got put into conversation with them, which was really helpful because, like you say, that's the engaging part of it, where once you're actually talking to someone or you're doing an assignment, you're starting to think about the role, you're more motivated to put your energy into it. But I definitely did have other things that I wanted and that I applied for that went nowhere. And I had the period of like, okay, now I start to feel like I have a bunch of interviews lined up at once and they all have potential. And then all of a sudden, like a house of cards, like none of them are coming through. And you start to think like, oh, I was so sure I had a job here. And now I'm like, am I going to have to go back to square one? So I think I feel very grateful that I got a job, because it is somewhat random in that sense, like whether you are the right person for exactly what they're looking for and you connect with them at the right time. Like, I don't want to say that anybody could go out there and just start trying to have coffee chats and you're going to get a job like super easy. Like, it's not necessarily because of you that it takes a long time. And I think that's like something for people to keep in mind. And sometimes the more traditional like resume reading route, where you never talk to anybody, like tons of people get their jobs that way too. So I think the biggest thing about it is like finding the endurance to keep moving forward and kind of like keeping yourself in a good place energetically to be able to handle it. Cause it's a lot of like disappointment and feeling like, you guys said you're putting in all the energy and you're not getting a lot of results for it. So that's tough. And yeah, I feel very grateful to have a job in these times, because there's still a lot of people who are looking like you guys here.
That's interesting. So it is kind of like a shot in the dark and a balance between like the system, which is like just getting your foot in the door to get that first interview. And then there's the other side where it's like that human-to-human contact, where that's where you just kind of like connect through similarities, right? I know with like Leon, you connected with was your manager, your boss on the design background and all that. So yeah, that's neat. It's like, how do we create a formula so it just works?
That's why I feel like it's so hard to give advice to people who are looking, because yeah, it's like, some what worked for me might not work for some people. And I specifically go into my job hunt knowing that I'm going to tailor my resume to whoever it is, and really try and put a personal touch on it, because at the end of the day, I want to establish that rapport past that initial stage of like resume screening, right? So however I can kind of get in there, you know, with establishing coffee chats and stuff, that's the way I'm going to go. But as Sarah said, you know, it might be good for some people to just send out their resume and see what happens, right? So
yeah, and I really hate the systems, to be honest. I feel like it's giving a lot of pain points where I think you mentioned this, Leon, where when you attach the resume into the system, it doesn't really auto-populate the information in the right way. And you have to like type in a very mundane way, like dates, this in bullet points. And I feel that there's actually more job platforms that I'm not used to before, that I'm, you know, I had to do this before actually applying. And it's very time consuming and it's very tedious and it's giving a lot of pain points, but you got to do it, I feel. yeah, it's the systems that is pretty flawed, I feel.
Yeah, how much do you think the system gets in the way from, you know, landing or connecting with the right job? Like, if you were to give it a percentage, because, I mean, yeah, there's like two elements, right? It's like bypassing the system or getting through it. And once you're in, then you got to sell yourself with the human-human connection side.
I think for the most part, like, the system works for the company. Like, they're asking things that they need in order for them to get a better of an idea of what their process would look like. Sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it's not for the candidate. But I think it's just like it's about managing your energies, as Sarah mentioned. And from my experience, it's also weighing like the effort to like the rewards. Like, okay, this form who kind of just messed up populating my PDF, like, is the next half hour going to be worth it? Is this like a company that I really want to work for and I really want to kind of put my best effort? If it is, yeah, like, okay, let's do it. Like, but if it's not, it's like, okay, it's like, what are my options? Is this, am I still going to put my head down with this, or is this just going to be one of those applications where you kind of just, like, as you mentioned, just like shoot it in the dark and just don't be attached to it?
And you were right, Andrew. Like, I was I had a bit of a responsibility in hiring people back in my role, and definitely using some of those systems is very useful from the company's perspective. However, sometimes, you know, during the pandemic time, I feel like us as job seekers, we just hope that there's more a better human-centric type of systems that are good for the companies and also for the users. Unfortunately, we don't know what is that. Maybe they just need to put a VR and AR elements to chat with someone. I don't know. Just
VR, AR.
One day.
Yeah, I think we were kind of touching on what we're really kind of wanting for is just some sort of standardization across, like, employment methods being used by various employers, and specifically for design, I guess, because that's what I've been experiencing, is just so many platforms out there that you have to kind of enter in the same kind of information. If there was one recognized platform that a lot of kind of HR managers use, I know they're all kind of like tailor-made for the organizations that they're for, but if there was some, you know, process where it could all just be, you enter all that information once and it's there, and then you can just kind of distribute it to the places which you're applying for, I think that would be a lot better.
That would be really cool. I feel like for me, that the systems problem is almost a tougher nut to crack, because naturally there's all these different competitors on the market, and and it's like fragmented what people end up using. But for me, something that I noticed in this job hunt was that there are some companies, like, from a, I guess, more of a cultural policy standpoint, who make a real effort to be more human in their process. And the number one way that they do that is by getting back to everybody. And that, I think, is like a very simple shift in HR policies that could be a big game changer. Like, imagine if every single job you applied for, you knew exactly where you stood. Like, it's disappointing to hear that you don't get it, but I think sending out 25 applications and not hearing back, it just gives you this angst. So I don't know, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, and I feel like with rejection notes, it should be more humanized as well, with more feedback. I don't know, it's just, I feel like we always have that, you know, steps like, hey, don't forget to ask for feedback. But the reality is that you might not get the rejection notes. It might have gone cold. B or C, when you ask for feedback, they might not give it to you. And I wish that more companies understand or see the value of providing feedback to candidates that are not getting it, so that they can tailor it better for the next other application. And it's going to be more worthwhile.
Yeah. And I almost feel like there's a scale to it, right? Like, I could put myself in the position of, like, the companies who may not have, like, the the bandwidth to provide like feedback to 200 applicants, but there is something to be said about like human-centric design of these things, right? Like it could be an automated email of a rejection letter, but it could be designed in like the most empathic way where they're able to kind of just articulate and put themselves in the position of the candidate where, yeah, we, yeah, I could probably like give so many examples of like the worst like rejection letter where.
Can you give one?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like
you failed.
Yeah.
Automated email that just said like, it's like it's pulled from like a Google search where it doesn't even mention like the name. We decided to like not pursue you. And then it doesn't even say like the name of the person who wrote it. But I've seen automated emails that are able to kind of just like say it, like it was like a real person. Doesn't have to like say why, but says like the next steps, what our options was, and really sign it off in such a way that feels much more, yeah, empathic to what that other person experiencing. And I think those attention to detail is like such a huge thing to the experiences of both like the candidate and employee.
Mm. And I feel like, you know, this is just an idea. I've been sharing voice notes with my friends, including Sarah. And maybe if people are just so tired of typing, they could just send a voice note with feedback. That is super easy. It's just like 30 seconds or 1 minute of talking points on why you didn't get it. And it's super easy. You know, you could get it even during the call with the... from a company's perspective, you always talk with different stakeholders on why you want to pick the candidate or not, right? And you can just like take some recording out of that. I don't know. It's just like,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I wish there's just, you know, relaying the feedback in different type of communication form, like as voice note or VR or AR. Okay.
Yeah, making it more human. I think that's also especially like when you're at the more advanced stages of the process. Yeah, I think it's really kind and like fair to give people at least a bit of your time, considering how much time the applicant has put into it. But I think if there's just like this very clear process of like, okay, there's these stages to our interview and you know every stage you're at, and then they either say you made it to the next stage or you didn't make it to the next stage, That would be probably quite helpful.
It's like almost common courtesy, right? You just want to let them know so you don't keep them waiting for the next date. So
exactly, yeah. And it's, I guess, with things being so technology based now, it's easy to lose some of that accountability because you've got these 200 applicants in your HR system and they're all like nameless, faceless resumes to you, so you just like don't concern yourself.
Yeah, and I wish that in those, you know, in the future, I hope we have this HR system where, I don't know if you guys, how many questions have you guys asked? Like, what are the next steps constantly in every interviews? Why can't we just have, let's say, a system where you put your stuff and then it provides you the roadmap steps? Like, it's kind of like a gamification, right? Okay, and then if you didn't get it, there's that feedback form somewhere on why you didn't get it so that you know which steps are you at. You know, and you don't even need to ask those questions anymore. What are the next steps?
Okay.
Have you guys had any really positive experiences that like of people who've done it really well?
For the, like the system side or like the whole process of like interviews and being let down and.
Yeah. Kind of the whole process of recruiting.
I have. Yeah. One company, they were very responsive and they gave me a heads up for like each step of the interview. Should we like share companies? I don't know. We should be safe.
Oh, I have a local company that I would totally plug or a few.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, who's yours?
Okay, so yeah, I was with Major Tom and they were fantastic. It was great. I felt like it was super human. A human approach. I was talking to the HR lead who is based in Toronto. And it was really friendly and I could just tell like even the questions they asked for the initial like screener phone call interview. They weren't like saying, what are your three strengths and what are your three failures and stuff. It was just really natural. They were just trying to get to know me. Anyways, long story short, it didn't work out, but they gave me good feedback. And even the tech leads gave me had enough time to write down what they thought. And so then I improved from their feedback, and that was great. So
I had a good experience quite recently where it wasn't even any part of the process. It was just in the job posting where it actually made it difficult for me to even ask questions from the get-go because it was so transparent in the way that the role was laid out and how the process looked like. And that was so refreshing for me to kind of just step into what would be a daunting task and know, this is kind of just what's ahead of me, how long it's going to take, and as much as what the role and the position would look like. So those were really, really gems for me in terms of process at that earliest stage.
Yeah, I also really like when they lay out a lot of information. I guess it depends on, the size of the company, whether they're able to do this. But this one company I applied for in Vancouver called Nice Job. They are, I'd say, more of a startup and a smaller company, but really good at giving a lot of information online. And they've got all this stuff about what it's like to work there. They say, if you're in this role, you'll be working with these people and these people do these things. It really answers, you say, a lot of the questions you might have. And then something interesting that they do is that you apply for the job, and I think they use a resume scanner. And if your resume passes the scan, whatever the parameters are, you instantly get invited for a video interview. So then you answer the questions right then and there on your time and submit it for them to review. And that's kind of your phone screener, which I found their hiring process was pretty accelerated because of that. And they also lay out on the website every stage in hiring. So it says, after this interview you submit, if we'll get back to you and say whether you get a call with us, etc. And there'll be a call with the CEO and then an in-person interview. And then in the end, I didn't get the jobs that I applied for, and I asked why, and the HR person told me really quickly, oh, you don't have enough experience in this. And it was just all very transparent along the way.
That's awesome. Sounds like great user experience design.
Yeah. And I think it also was making their lives a lot easier too as a startup. So it sort of worked both ways.
Okay. Can you share a little bit about the resume screen reader process? What do they screen for? Because I'm sure every company has different parameters, but do you guys know what goes behind that?
Is it when they track certain keywords that are tied in with the role specifications? Expectations. Okay. I think that's what usually the application tracking system works. You got to beat that machine or system first in order to get.
What is it called? ATS system or something like that?
Application tracking system.
Okay, so do you look at do they plug in the words that match specific words that match the job posting? And then
usually in most cases, okay. Yeah. So and that's what everyone from the red coaches, who came from a technical recruitment background, they always recommend to tailor it based on what you see, the keywords that you see in the job postings.
Okay.
And then it will improve. I don't know. I haven't had the chance to use that type of systems and see the score. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe some other people may have.
Josh, I think if you talk to Jarrell from Vancouver Design Check-In, he might be able to let you know.
Okay.
He's in it right now. Shout out Jarrell.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is because for those who are listening, I'm sure they want to know how this works, right? Do they just litter the keywords throughout their whole resume, or does the system know too much where it's okay, this person's trying to overdo it, and how does that work, right? Maybe we'll dive into that more. So
we'll find a HR person to talk more about.
Yeah, I should have asked Julie more about that. So
it's interesting. Like a lot of companies do it. And I think I've probably steered away from the type of companies that are, partly out of laziness. I'm like, I don't want to keyword input in my resume. Or also, if you're applying for a bunch of different types of jobs, then you have to tailor your resume to the different fields, which is probably something that you get good at the more you do it. I know that my partner changed his resume to be the Word version, the less, you know, designed version, the ugly resume. Mm-hmm. And you have more success with the bigger companies. So I think it depends what you're going for, how much time you want to invest in that.
Yeah, that's like a whole strategy on its own. For those who are listening, if you want to learn a little bit more about some tips and tricks, check out Julie Blackburn's episode, and you'll find out more. There's a little shameless plug there. I do want to talk more about, like, we covered a little bit about the process for, like, the system. Let's talk more about, like, the human-to-human interaction, because this is something we're trying to tackle, right, with Collab Collective, with our potential Discord channel and community. Like, how do we network? Let's dive into that, because at the end of the day, it really is, like, it's not really what you know, but it's who you know.
And I think to add to that, and to kind of just like draw back with what Leon was saying, it's like it's that element. Like, I hate saying the word like networking, but it's also like being able to draw on like experiences of like other people and use them to how you would want to navigate your own journey. When you talk about like formulas and what's like the best way to go, I don't think there's one answer. Like, there's going to be like an answer for a specific application, but you want to be able to kind of just like flex the full spectrum of it and like have more tools, have more bullets in your pocket to be able to kind of just like utilize all those depending on what's in front of you, and being able to pick up on how Sarah did it, or Kevin, Leon, Josh did it, and then other more who have gone through that process. Whether they're in the thick of it, whether they've gone through it, is immensely, immensely helpful in giving insight into your journey.
I think so. To give a bit of insight and background as well, I'm kind of like Kevin. I've been experiencing a little bit of the hiring end of things, because with the volunteer organization that I work with, Assist List, I'm now a board member in the organization, and having to kind of organize with a new people and culture team how the hiring or recruiting process of new volunteers goes for the design team, and trying to establish some of those practices and put in place some of the initial screening type questions, but then really not trying to not lose that human aspect to it. So how can we have a second interview where they do get to meet with myself and another design lead and talk design and talk shop, and also talk about some of their aspirations as well? And I think that part kind of gets lost in some of this sort of navigating through the like job hunt process, is what does the candidate want to get out of it? What is their journey? How did they get here? And when they're sitting there in front of you in the interview process, you have to kind of have a bit of empathy for the person who's sitting there and what they've been through. So don't just kind of read the questions off the list, because I think that, you know, every person is unique and they bring a different set of skills and different personality to the table. And they could be a perfect culture fit for your organization. And, you know, they may be lacking in a couple like technical skills or things on paper that might not fit, and they could have a gap in their resume that, you know, maybe they were out doing some amazing things and you wouldn't really know that unless you ask them those types of questions. So I think that for the potential employer out there, it's really not to lose sight of that human aspect.
And to add to Leon's great point, coming from, again, someone who've hired people, I think it'll be great if any companies or companies, they should start, you know, providing those kind of like get to know you events in their company page, maybe in our, you know, when you read like about us, here's a time for you to talk with some of the members virtually, right? Or if you want to find more interaction with the designers, you can find them in this community group. Maybe like, oh, Design X is connecting with XYZ company in here. So come chat with them and provide them the link in the company page. I think companies should now think about that critically in revamping the experience of their, you know, their about us, their, for example, like us, I think Collab Collective, we would love to share, you know, the podcast stories within our about us page in the future so that you guys can listen to our voice, not just reading over text, right? Not just beating the system. And we hope that one day our community and platform would be a place where, you know, those companies would reach out and find a way to connect with people using conversation. It could just be like a 30 minutes chat just to get to know the culture, the roles, how do they deal with projects, you know, things, pandemic, and people management and so on. And less more about selling yourself, but more about, it's kind of like dating, but just getting to know each other's background better. Chemistry, you know.
Yeah, I think that's something we've found that is a big pain point or a big lack, is just that natural way of connecting and not having that agenda. I know we were connecting with Kirill from My Soul Team. It's his website, mysoulteam.com. So yeah, it's a job board, local job board, Vancouver. Check it out. It's really great. But he's been in this space for a long time. And he said, it's just, you know, the current landscape in Vancouver is, it's a really small community of like designers, and so everyone kind of knows each other, but for say the juniors and the entry-level designers, they'll come into these networking events, so they are participating in these, like, you know, human-to-human interactions and stuff, but it's super awkward sometimes because I think one of the biggest complaints senior people see is they just get flooded with all these juniors saying like, are you hiring, and it's missing that natural like get to know you opportunities. So we kind of observed all these, and we're trying to find ways to facilitate like natural conversations. So some ideas we've been playing with is having these online events, whether it's through Zoom or Discord. And so if you guys are interested or want to find out, like, let us know, because we want to have these like hangout sessions, kind of like what we're doing now. And I don't know how it's going to evolve. Maybe we'll have people like just jumping in these podcasting Zoom calls. Yeah, I'm not sure. So maybe Leon, Kevin, you guys have been working on this. If you want to add more to this.
Yeah, it's really just kind of having that platform to allow for facilitating some of those meetups and discussions. So in lieu of having a physical place to meet up, like a coffee shop, how can we kind of do that online? And how can we keep the conversation going? So there's a lot of kind of conversation starters that I think we're brainstorming right now and trying to get a bit more, you know, detailed plans out there. And then we'll be able to kind of share that with everyone, and really kind of want to keep it to a, you know, pretty intimate group to begin with, because as, you know, as the group size increases, you lose that sort of one-to-one conversation that occurs. So yeah, just trying to find the right numbers and the right fit.
Existing communication platform that, you know, can actually drive this human-driven conversations around. Currently we're testing Discord, but we might be changing things around in the future. Who knows, depending on what the user needs and so on. Yeah.
Something else I wanted to add about the human connection side of finding work is that it goes both ways. Like, if you don't get a good impression from the person who's hiring, like, that's going to tell you a lot about the company, the energy, the way that they work, the values that they have. So, I mean, yeah, it goes both ways, and companies, it's definitely in their interest to be good humans, because that's how you attract good people to your workplace. Because I think all of us have probably had an experience where we got an interview and that person was just really uninspired, uninterested, and we thought, I don't want to work here. So you know, it's not just us trying to sell ourselves either.
Yeah, I know when I was talking to Julie, she used the I love the dating metaphor. But like, I'm curious, random side question, but like, when you guys go for dates, do you guys actually write down a list of like what you're looking for? A list of requirements?
It must be funny or else. Just kidding.
That's funny because you definitely like are maybe more likely to do that for a job than for dating, but it could probably work both ways.
Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's all relationships, right? It's just people connection.
I think, you know, if you're looking for like a full-time role, you're going to be investing a lot of hours every single week to being in the place with working with people. And sometimes we forget that, you know, you should probably scope out who you're going to be working with, what team you're going to be involved with, outside of just the people that are interviewing you. And sometimes that has a pretty big impact on your fit with the company and also the company's fit with you. So yeah, it's just having that in mind. I think I don't necessarily make a list when I go into it. Those interviews with like everything that I want to kind of ask, but I have a general idea of what I want to cover.
And I wish that came in earlier in what the status quo looks like. Like in my experience, like in the years that I've been designing, the moment I'm in right now, like I don't get to meet my superior or my team until like the last stages of the interview. And I've been in those situations where good fit, okay, good challenge, like pretty receptive. And then I meet my boss, my potential boss on my team. It's like, yikes. Oh my gosh. And then you still want to make that interview count, but at the back of my mind, it's like my world suddenly is crashing down because like, this isn't going to work out. Like as much as I've worked hard for this potential, like it's, yeah, and it goes back to, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like it's also these relationships and time that you're going to be spending with these people.
And some places don't even give you a chance to meet them. Like I agree with you there, it's huge. And if you can get to know people, see the space, like learn more about how they work really early on in the process, it's really helpful, which is why if they don't have that listed, like don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. And that shows interest too, just like dating, like you're trying to find the fit. So you're interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing you.
Yeah, I think that's really important to know that you kind of have a little bit of that power and you're kind of begging for the position too. It kind of brings that confidence back. Awesome. So with that note, it is time to wrap up. I think we've covered a lot of ground on the challenges and the gaps that lie in the whole job application process and overcoming the system, and also being more in touch on providing a more human-centered approach on the interview style. So if you guys liked it, please give us a 5 out of 5. And if you have any questions, please reach out to us. Sarah, what's the email again?
teamcollabco@gmail.com. TEAM collab, collabco at gmail.
Awesome.
I'd also like to bring up that if you are kind of pursuing jobs and looking for jobs, like reach out to us too and just share with us your experience, because I think that would give us some insight into how we proceed with all our sort of future endeavors. This podcast and otherwise.
And we have a very early Instagram account, collabcollective.ca. So I think we currently have 0 followers, but please be the first. And yeah, I think that would be a good way to reach out to us as well. We just want to connect with you and find out what you're up to. So some resources regarding this topic. So there's mysoulteam.com with Kirill. There's the helpless.ca, Julie Blackburn, she does coaching and consulting on like resume building and refining your LinkedIn profile. That's the space is here.com. Anything else?
DesignX.
DesignX community.
They've recently transitioned over to a subscription model, but definitely look into that if you're a designer.
Oh, and special shout out to Jarrell at Vancouver Design Check-In. And there is a special group called Iterate UX. And Leticia is leading that up, and she's based in Vancouver. So if you're a UX designer, they do an amazing job on just portfolio reviews, design challenges, all that stuff. So it'll sharpen your UX skills. And Kevin.
Also, there's other community groups that have been posting jobs as well. Productbc.ca, and there's a Slack group called Vancouver Digital Project Managers, I think. So please take a look into that if you are going into the PM world, either product or project. Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out a tagline to like for proper outro. So I guess if you want to collab with us, reach out to us, and we just want to get connected and help each other out. So with that, have an amazing day, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.